Yeah, well, when I was working on this film, at that time a lot of films were being made dealing with migration, and what I found very interesting that they had three typical characteristics. One of them that they were all political correct, they were all somehow sentimental, and they all tried to reflect the suffering of the migrants, so to tell the story from their perspective, to get into their heads. And a lot of those films are important and interesting, but my aim was to actually radically break with all these three typical features we saw a lot in these films.
How did you aim to break with them?
Well, for example, the first act is everything but political correct. It's like the political incorrect sentiment or voice that's very prevalent. I mean, there are, for me as a filmmaker, I think there are two ways how to approach documentaries. One is to regard it as recording events, and the other one is as a subjective reflection of reality. And the latter is more related to documentary as an art form. So in that sense, I don't necessarily make the difference between documentary and fiction, but I see them more like genres. And I try to use those instruments to tell the story I want to tell. So that's why I came up with this actor who, in my opinion, was the best tool to convey this story. Like the whole idea of documentary that's more related to journalism, I don't believe in this, like this objectivity thing. I think if I want to see reality, I always say I just walk outside. In the cinema, I'm only interested in the vision or the subjective a reflection of reality of the filmmaker. So that's why, having said that, I allow myself to also play with these different forms and different structures, both documentary and fiction, and mix them.
So this actor was working with actual refugees, and I'm curious about how you got the refugees and how you worked them into the story. Actually, maybe you can answer that.
Yeah, our goal was from the very first start to really engage the migrants into this film, or the refugees. So basically, first we also did a test shoot 1 year before, but at the real shooting, we spent about 2-3 days to meet them and to assemble the classes and to introduce ourselves and not only explain them that it was an actor that was standing in front of them and what this actor was going to say to them, but also try to explain the whole project and what our goal was, what we tried to convey. So, yeah, that was the way how we worked. So you could say we tried to make the film together and make them very aware of what was ahead of them.
So the actor was engaging with the refugees, and in Act One, you said it was the politically incorrect version of what's going around or what's considered to be said in Europe, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about one of the exchanges. He starts out with saying that how much the refugees cost, and that each cost 26,000 euros for the first year that they're in Europe, and then he asks them to calculate how much that those people in the room cost. Can you tell me about the exchange that happened next when he says that, and I should also say that the entire room in the first act is just African immigrants, and he says that 55% of Africans who come to Europe will never work. And one of the refugees asks if it's an exaggeration, and then he proceeds to say this.
I don't think you are responsible. I blame the people in Europe, the so-called dreamers, the so-called idealists, the so-called left-wingers, who actually made this happen, who gave you false hope, who built you a Fata Morgana that is not real. But those people, they pretend it's gonna be easy. And that's why you all cross this terrible Mediterranean Sea. You take the risk, but especially for your children. How terrible is that? Your children can't decide if they wanna come or not. You just say, come with me. The little child goes with you, and then he drowns in the sea. That was his life. That was it for him.
So before
is that a better life? Is that fair?
No, the world...
Is that fair?
No, it's not fair.
So why?
The world is not fair. I was born here, and you were born there. That's not fair.
Why it's life.
Why they don't stay here and do talk?
We have to move on.
That's why I said we need your help because we have been paying tax.
I can't help you. Stop saying we need your help. You need to help each other. Help each other.
Can you tell me a little bit about that point in that exchange?
Yeah, it's also like actually our prime minister, he once said this, that it's like a geographical roulette. So if you are born there, it's unlucky, but we can do nothing about it. When I conducted my research and I was actually collecting all those, the arguments and the rhetorics that the more, you could say, nationalist conservatives use, there was just one part of it that they tend to blame more the left-wing politicians for making these myths and, you know, hiding the truth. So that was how that part ended up in the film, I think.
And he also talked about the fear Europeans have about the law of Allah coming over their land, and then the fear that immigrants will become, or migrants will become, the majority. So I was wondering, because this is typically, it's a white man who is representing Europe, and then it was African men who were, was that a conscious decision in that first act?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily. If we could have found migrants from or refugees from the Middle East, they would have been in the classes like they are in the second and third act. But at the moment we were shooting, we were also a little bit dependent on what migrants were there at which point. So, yeah.
And was it a conscious decision to have the actor be a...
Yes. Yeah, that was, I mean, we needed a representation of Europe, and yeah, like I was also looking for an actor with a kind of gaze in his eyes that was hard, like a little bit mysterious, if that's the right word, so that you could not grasp who exactly is this guy, so he could also play these different roles in a convincing way, and yeah, so for me it was the most logical choice to make it a white person.
I mean, Europe is very different in its identity than it was. There's kind of all different types of Europeans. You can see, you know, Romanians and Spain and Turks and Germany and this and that everywhere, you know. So do you think that having a white male represent Europe is in and of itself somewhat problematic?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, it's fair to argue this way. I mean, it's not necessarily white, but I think to get this message more across, or also to I didn't necessarily want to make a caricature out of it, but I did want to emphasize this power disbalance, and so yeah.
Is it buying into an outdated narrative? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I mean, still, I think in Europe, I mean, the ones in power are mostly white, I would say, still. So, and this is like the whole West, right? I mean, it's hard to argue the other way, I would think. Yeah, so, I mean, you could, of course, it's changing, and that's a good thing. But still, yeah, I think basically it's constructed like this.
Well, so I'm going to introduce Mary. Mary Flynn has been sitting here from the Lutheran Social Services Refugee Program. And I was just going to ask you about your take on the first act, because you've seen the film, right?
Yes.
And so you don't settle refugees in a vacuum. Have you come across some of these attitudes, and how do they come about?
I've absolutely seen those attitudes, and I find this film very powerful, and I'm really happy to be able to be sitting here with the filmmaker today, because it really is adding a lot of depth and context. In my job, part of our mission statement is we help people improve the quality of their lives. So I know that that's a very powerful statement. And when I saw your film, there was a lot of power in each of the acts. You know, Act One was the power of words and the power of misinformation. That, as you said, this, you were portraying some of the comments that are being made about refugees, and they're not accurate. And that was a very powerful act, and I had a visceral response to it. And then Act Two, it really gets into, for me, the power of hope and the power of words once again, but in a way that lifts people up and gives them something to go for, you know, to work towards. And then in Act Three, the power of the system and the checks and balances that are in place for refugees and asylees. The way they showed the interview process and the way they whittled the large group down to the precious few that ended up making it through is a very accurate portrayal of what I see on the job. But the comments from Act One, the incorrectness, is something that I see quite a bit and that I hear quite a bit. So very powerful across the board.
Well, so, you know, would you say that you are trying to shape public opinion?
I think in my work, we're just trying to give the best information that we can and the most accurate that we know. There's always going to be differing opinions, differing thoughts about this whole situation. But shaping, no, I don't have the poetic license that a filmmaker might have to shape the message or the story. I just have the facts that I have to go on and be as honest as I can.
Well, so one of the things that the actor in the second act started talking about was he started talking about the colonial past of Europe. And then he also started talking about some facts refuting that presumably more liberal individuals would use to refute the idea that migrants are going to take over Europe. And then there's also the 7 case studies about removing borders.
So it's logic, right? Yeah. It's logic. If we open the world economy, according to Harvard University, one of the biggest, most important universities in the world, $35 trillion. Can you imagine? It's this classroom full of money, and that's times hundreds. That's $35 trillion that would be injected extra in the world economy. And it would only would work if you would come in, if you would help us out with jobs we don't want to do. So it's time Europe admits we need you.
Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, where you got those facts and what you were using with those?
Yeah, most of them were just, I read a lot of newspapers, but also scientific articles. So everything actually I could find to one, on the one hand, try to construct these two speeches. That's how actually I approach them and that represent the dominant public discourse. And on the other hand, the third act was the most work and the most research since these rules and regulations were very hard to get a hand on. So I need to speak with some people who used to work for Immigration Service so I could get my hands on some classified papers, and then slowly we had to try to catch the essence of it, which was, in my opinion, like you said very well, somehow a knockout competition.
I need to ask you one last question. Is there anyone in here who left his fingerprints when he arrived here in Europe? Anyone?
Yeah.
Please stand up. Anyone else? Okay, please stand up. It's called the Dublin Regulation. It means when you ask for asylum, you always have to ask asylum in the first country that you entered. And because you left your fingerprints, everyone knows, no, they entered here. So for now, the people that are standing up, I would like you now to invite you to leave the room. You cannot get a permit of residence in the Netherlands. We'll never be able to. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Good day.
And they had to, all these obstacles we tried to incorporate in the scene, and then you can see actually how basically the procedure works.
And Mary, coming from an American perspective and seeing our refugee system, do you see things similar or different to how the system was portrayed in the film?
It was a really interesting comparison between the way the United States is receiving refugees. It's so different, though. You know, the United States is surrounded by oceans and two very large other countries. So refugees arrive through a very organized governmental process. And when they do arrive, the United States gives them the tools that they need to do well and to become self-sufficient and independent. They arrive with full, permanent, documented status from day one. not so in the film. And that's really what's going on right now in Europe, is many people are just fleeing and are able to make it into Europe, but they don't have that process in place to give people work authorization, permanent housing. You know, we have adjustment of status or green card and a pathway to citizenship. That is not the case in Europe. So it was very interesting for me to see the film and compare those factors.
And what would you say above all was one of your messages from the film?
I think we talked about the three acts, but there was also an epilogue in the film. And that was, for me personally, maybe the most important scene, because in that scene, it's not about the power relations between European and migrants, but about the power relation between a filmmaker and the one he portrays in front of his camera. Because I found out, and I believe that the difficult thing in documentary filmmaking, that it has an inherent exploitative character, and you have to be aware of that, you have to be transparent about it, and you have to deal with this. And that's what I was trying to tell in this last scene, and through this also to explain that we are all living in somehow parallel universes, like the migrants, Europe, but also as filmmakers going to our film festivals in these gated communities. And this is interesting, and I think the question, do we want to live these parallel universes, is an interesting question to ask.
Yeah, you kind of became a little personal and revealed your own privilege or you know, place that you were coming from. You know, the refugees, did they just happen to come upon the actor, or did you send them over, or?
No, that last scene was very, in that sense, constricted, because we really created it together with the refugees. So we just sat down and we explained, okay, this is what we tried to convey. But at the same time, all these questions they asked, they did ask me, like, during research. I went to Italy like 5 or 6 times. So we somehow condensed all these experiences into this last scene, and they could really familiarize with it. So for them it was confident to play these roles in that sense. They somehow play themselves.
What would you say, and I'm curious about your opinion on this, to someone who might say that the second act seemed disingenuous coming from the actor after the first act? I don't know if that's how you felt at all, or, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that it seems like maybe one position came out stronger in one way or not.
Yeah, I know, because when the second act starts, I would say then as an audience, you would realize it's an actor. So in that sense, it's maybe a little bit indigenous, I would say. And though I myself have familiarized more with the second act, still, I think there's also with the second act that has a little problem for me, because in that act, the actor also categorizes the migrants merely actually as victims. But I think it's not a threat, but also not a victim, how you should approach it. But that's just complex human beings with all their traits we also have. So, and like, because of this answer of the more left side of politics, I would say in Europe, the liberal or the conservative side gains more terrain. So that's this polarizing effect is quite problematic.
What do you think about that, Mary?
Well, I think the one thing we haven't talked about is that he's got the three acts and the epilogue, but you also have a prologue.
Yeah.
And the prologue is something that I had to go back and watch again, because it is a very powerful framework for what you're about to see.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
It's like the idea of the prologue was to go through human history, the idea of the prologue was to go through human history. How do you say migration of human history?
Oh, yeah. The evolution or
the history of migration.
It was colonialism.
Yeah,
you were talking about people from the South have gone to the North, but actually the North came and colonized the South. And then now the South is coming back North, and all of a sudden it's like, well, no, you know.
Yeah, so maybe I can say like the prologue, you know, in Europe we tend to define this, what's happening, as the refugee crisis. But if you just look at human history, like migration has been there for always, and the numbers have been even bigger in the past and it's nowadays. So I would rather say it's not necessarily a refugee crisis, more in Europe's identity crisis. And that's, with this prologue, I try to get this idea a little bit across also by taking more or less the perspective of an alien looking down on Earth, and just try to explain in a very remote way, okay, this is what happens. You have those people in the North, those people in the South, and they're moving, and this is the result.
What, that was something I wanted to, the movie, the film had a very clear us and them, and Europe is evolving. I mean, Europe is very different in its identity than it was, you know, there's kind of all different types of Europeans. You can see, you know, Romanians in Spain and Turks in Germany and this and that everywhere, you know. So do you think that having a white male represent Europe is in and of itself somewhat problematic?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, it's fair to argue this way. I mean, it's not necessarily white, but I think to get this message more across, or also to I didn't necessarily want to make a caricature out of it, but I did want to emphasize this power disbalance, and so yeah.
Is it buying into an outdated narrative? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I mean, still, I think in Europe, I mean, the ones in power are mostly white, I would say, still. So, and it's just like the whole West, right? I mean, it's hard to argue the other way, I would think. Yeah, so, I mean, you could, of course, it's changing, and that's a good thing. But still, yeah, I think basically it's constructed like this.
Just in thinking of the times I've been able to travel to Europe, the cultural identity and the establishment identity is white. That's just what it is. It's not necessarily, in my opinion, should you have had a black actor? I think that the person that is in the film represents kind of mainstream Europeans that the film was kind of speaking to or about. So I didn't have a, and usually the people that are doing the interviewing and people that are teachers and things would look like this man. So it didn't strike me as unusual. I'm just really glad I'm able to talk to you about the film because, like I said, my reaction was visceral and the acts were so different. It was very, very interesting movie.
And what do you want people to come away with after they watch it?
Well, one of the biggest reasons, like I said in the beginning, these three things that were like typical characteristics of documentaries dealing with migration. I think I always say it's not a bad idea to first look at ourselves before we try to represent the suffering of others. And that's what I wanted this film to be, not necessarily point a finger towards a certain group, but more function as a mirror to the audience and also to the migrants, but also to myself as a filmmaker. So that's it.
Can the us and them narrative be diminished? I mean, there was a very strong us and them. You see what I'm saying? It was even mentioned a few times in the film, like, you were born there, we were born here, I was born here. Is that something that you feel, like, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's, I feel it's problematic, but I mean, it doesn't really matter what mask, in that sense, the actor or Europe puts on. It's all about categorizing these days, right? It's either, and that's something we should try to change, I think.
but maybe categorization, but not in the way that most people would think of it. Because when I heard those refugees, and I've heard this from the refugees that I've worked with throughout the country, when they say about the terrorist activities, and they'll say, well, what about Muslims that kill people? And their immediate answer was, but those aren't Muslims. Those are terrorists. So if it is a us, them, I feel like I felt very identified very highly with the people in the film at that moment, because refugees are fleeing the same thing and are concerned about the same things that we are. And that the negative narrative about immigrants is about terror and fear. But that's why they're coming. They are being terrorized themselves, and they're afraid themselves, and they are looking to our countries for what they can't get in their own home countries. So if it's a us-them narrative for me, I'm with them.
Well, and it's interesting because you mentioned the film. In Act One, the actor says that his own father, because of World War II, essentially became a refugee in his own country, and they stayed to rebuild it. I guess that's one of the narratives. But, do you think that what do you think about what Mary had to say about that?
Yeah, well, I agree that, the reason they are fleeing are exactly the reasons, like the way sometimes the threats of and they're being spread around about terrorism, which is very exaggerated in the first place. But that's, of course, completely like a big paradox, because that's where they're fleeing from. But I do believe that like the real solution on the long term is, of course, not that they have to flee. You know, we have to think about how they stop fleeing, that we can get rid of the reasons why they have to flee. And that's something which is, I'm quite pessimistic about it. I mean, in the neoliberalism era we're living in, and the importance of oil and et cetera, I mean, ultimately almost no one, in this system cares about those people there. And that's I'm when I'm making this film and visiting a lot of refugee camps, which are completely isolated, most of them in Europe, from society. I mean, if you're not pessimistic or cynical, I think you're quite naive. And I mean, there is just deliberately a new lower class being created in Europe, and I think in 5 or 10 years, it's going to become much more problematic than it's now. And then I haven't even talked about the climate refugees, which will be like nothing compared to what can happen when those people will flee.
Mary, do you think that this is a very European narrative that he's talking about or sort of pessimism about refugee and migration ultimate, like the political... how would you describe it? It's like the policy.
The whole, if you look at Syria, like all the whole geopolitical landscape, those conflicts that, I mean, who is really working towards a solution or something? I don't see it.
Do you think that Americans think about this too?
I would hope so. Resettlement is so different to the United States once again. Once people reach our shores, they've already been completely vetted and brought into an organized pathway to citizenship. And I am in the business, and it is a business, of giving people hope and helping them move into a stage of healing after they arrive. So I firmly believe that the work that I'm doing is humanitarian and not political. And that's probably the best tool I can offer the people that I work with, is I want them to focus on the humanitarian and hopefully be able to leave a little bit of that political dissonance behind, because it's big.
Yeah, and I mean, why are all those refugees fleeing from Syria? It all started with the United States inviting Iraq. I mean, that's it. So I mean, we're now feeling the consequences.
So you're not a kumbaya, we're going to change all the board. We're going to get rid of all the borders in the world and live as one, or maybe that is something that you can hold on to.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting goal to strive for, but in the current era and in the neoliberalism landscape, I don't think that's realistic. That will, I mean, maybe in 100 years, but not in the near future, I think.
Well, guys, thank you so much for talking about this film and coming in today. Thank you, Mary and Guido.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. It's a powerful film.